open your Bibles to Romans chapter 9, if you would. Romans chapter 9. Now, why did you say amen? Because I said Romans chapter 9. You don't know what I'm going to preach on. All right, I'll tell you, it's good to be here. I've had a good time. And you know, I'll tell you, I love telling people about the Lord. I do, and I know I don't do it enough. I get busy doing electrical work, and sometimes I forget through the day, you know, that my main mission each day is not to do electrical work, but it is to witness to the men that God has brought my life around me at this time in my life. And sometimes I forget that. But, you know, I want a greater burden, you know, for lost people. And if that's really where it's going to be at, everything has worked together so well in this meeting. I hope I don't mess it up. But you know, everything that preached has been so good. I've enjoyed it so much. Brother, that was a great message. You know, we've got to educate our young men. And the same things that we have received, we need to commit to faithful men. Right. And we need to do that and train them to be soldiers in the Lord's army. We've got to do that. You know, Brother Jeff, those statistics and things he read off, that's nice to know. I'm glad to know those things. And I tell you what, it's alarming. It really is. And we need to wake up. We need to wake up what's going on around us. We need to learn all of these things and know all these things. But what I want to talk to you about is something I can't give you. It's something I can't teach you. And that's about a burden. It's about a burden. We have also started a college there to train people who want to further themselves in the ministry, and also to do other Christian work, to be in the Christian schools and things. And last semester I had taught on personal and public evangelism, and I started off, one of the first things I told them is I can teach you how to knock on the door. I can teach you how to talk to people. I can teach you, you know, maybe some things you need to say to a person if they're of this cult or of this background. And we dealt with a lot of those things. But I made sure that they understood this. There's one thing I can't give you. And that is a burden for the people that you look at each day.
Amen.
I can't do that. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is why we should have a burden. Or why we should be burdened. Or why we should be burdened about personal evangelism. In Romans chapter 9. Now automatically, as Sovereign Grace Independent Baptist Churches, when a preacher says Romans chapter 9, well, he's going to go over there and he's going to talk about, you know, God loved this one, God hated that one, right? That's not what we're going to talk about. We're not going to talk about that. But I think what we want to see, though, sometimes what we miss in Romans chapter 9 is the first few verses. You see, Paul believed the doctrines of grace. Paul believed the doctrine of election. But Paul did not allow that to keep him from having such a great burden for his kinfolk.
Amen.
For those of his own flesh. For those of his own countrymen. And sometimes we miss that. And sometimes we preach about election so hard. But sometimes we stress more about the one God hated rather than the one God loved. And what we need to see in this message, hopefully, is why we should be burdened. I want you to look at the burden of Paul here in Romans chapter 9. Let's read verses 1 through 3. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So he's saying before God, God who knows all, sees all, I speak the truth. God knows that what I'm about to say is truth. Will we be able to say with Paul this morning the same that he said in these next verses? Notice verse 2. That I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Why, Paul? Why? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I read that and I say, God, I don't know that kind of burden. I read that and say, God, I don't know what that's about. And that's just the honest truth. And when you look at what the Word of God means there, myself accursed from Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
What is he saying? I mean, when I read that, I think, are you crazy? A curse from Christ. That he had so much love for his brethren, for his kinsmen, and for us, it would be maybe our family. It would be for our nation. That he would wish himself a curse from Christ. That word curse literally means to be excommunicated from Christ. To be banned from Christ. Now my walk with Christ, my walk with Christ is everything to me.
Amen.
It's everything to me. It's what I couldn't function without it. I mean, if I get up in the mornings I get up in the mornings and I leave for work about 6:30. So I like to get up about 5:30. It gives me about 45 minutes to read the Bible and pray, and then 15 minutes to hurry and get out the door and be late for work every day. And but my time with Christ is precious.
Amen.
And I don't understand this kind of language. I really don't. And some might say, well, it really doesn't mean what it says. Well, I think it says what it means.
Amen.
And it's exactly what it says. And I don't understand that kind of a burden, because I could wish that myself were a curse from Christ for my brethren. So it was a desire of substitution, if you were. He says, for my brethren. He said, if it would mean that my brethren would be saved, I could wish myself a curse. But you know what? He could wish himself a curse, but it wouldn't do any good, would it?
That's it.
He could wish himself a curse, but that doesn't change anything. Because he goes on and he does talk about, God's chosen people. But what we see here is that he has such a strong desire that just motivates the man to go out and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, having all of it in perspective, and that God did have a chosen people. And he knew about all that, he taught about all that, but at the same time, and he knows that he can't change all of that, but he still wished or desired himself accursed. You see, we have a perfect balance here in how we ought to view the mission work of the Lord. We know that God's got His chosen and God's got His people out there, but at the same time, we have a strong desire to see people saved, that we would wish ourselves accursed for them. That's hard to understand. I tell you, I appreciate all the work church has done, these mission boards. It really shows a need. And that's just great. I don't know who all worked on that. We're doing an excellent job.
Amen.
We see all these needs. And it's not going to do any good. It's not going to do any good until you get the burden.
You might.
So, Jimmy, you can know all the truth. If you don't have the burden to share it, it's not going to do any good.
Yeah.
We got to have the burden.
Yes.
We've got to have the desire. We got to have in our heart to want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to have in our heart the love for others that we'll mention in a moment. Listen, we need a burden. And we need a burden for our kinfolk, right in our own homes. We need a burden, first of all, for our own families, in teaching them and training them in the ways of God. We need a burden for our communities of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need a burden for our nation. We need a burden for these. And I believe we, especially as this conference is focusing on home missions, we need a burden for America at large.
Amen.
We do, and we need to support our home missionaries as much as we can. Listen, this is the truth. If home missions cease, and if churches of the Lord are not growing in America, where are the foreign missions? Where will they be supported from? I know God can take care of them, but when you think about all the money that's going to foreign missions, there's a lot of churches today, and this is the honest truth, and some of us might say, well, that's not very nice. There's a lot of churches that are at the place where in 15 or 20 years, if people aren't, if that church doesn't start doing some growing, the church is going to die.
Right.
And where's going to be their money for foreign missions then?
Right.
We've got to invest in our own communities.
Amen.
And listen, invest in our own communities is not giving money. We need some people that'll get out there and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and witness of the Lord, and God will use that. God will save souls. I mean, God will bless and bring younger families, and God will do those kind of things. Then they will start giving to missions, and you'll support more missions. But we've got to focus on home. We've got to focus on growing the Lord's churches. And I have such a burden for that.
Amen.
I tell you what, we got Brother mentioned how many churches are without pastors. And Brother Raymond, he said 10. He said, oh, no, a lot more. I thought a couple of you this. And I was looking around the other day, and I found a website that had independent Baptist churches. They were King James Version only. They hear King James Version only, pre-mill, pre-trib. It didn't say anything about the doctrines of grace, so you got to take that in context. But the number was astounding. It was a whole list of churches without pastors seeking pastors. It was hundreds. Hundreds in America. Now, I understand some of them don't believe in doctrines of grace. But some of them I had recognized that did. And I'm sure there's a lot more on there that did that I didn't know. But it just amazed me. Hundreds. Listen, we need men on the mission fields here in America.
Amen.
We need that. Listen, we need to understand that if these churches die, then all of that money dies with it, doesn't it? But it's not about the money. It's not about that. We need to have a desire to simply for souls, as we'll see in a moment. Now, first of all, there's many reasons why there isn't a burden in the Lord's churches today.
Amen.
Many reasons. That's actually what my whole message was going to be about, was why there's not a burden. And that video took care of that last night. And I went back to the cabin and had to get something else to do. I'll tell you what. That going him. I mean, it was all over. I got mad. No, I didn't. Well, the Lord wanted me to do something different. So I'm going to try to take the next step. My first point was the first point he had on there was apathy. I had it wrote down everything. Apathy. When I seen that pop on that big screen, I was like, man. All right. But there's just a don't care attitude.
Right.
No burden.
Amen.
I don't understand that, but at the same time, I do understand it because I know that I can get like that. I can have so much apathy towards lost folks. I can have so much apathy. I can sometimes have so much more contempt than I can concern. I mean, I see that man, and I see him with the tattoos all over him. Like, man, he's going to regret that in a few years. But I see it covered with tattoos. I seen one the other day. He had big letters across his fingers that said, Mama. Oh, goodness sakes. I mean, and tattoos all over the place. And anyhow, oh, boy. That's awful. But you know, you can see things happening, and you can see people that are doing some awful things, and sometimes I have more contempt than I do concern. Yeah. And that bothers me. Listen, I know I need contempt for sin. God hates sin. God hates that workers of iniquity. That's what the Bible says. So God hates and despises sin. But at the same time, God also sent His Son to die for sinners.
Yeah.
And so, you know I need contempt for sin, but I need some concern for sinners.
Amen.
I need some compassion for sinners, but there's so much apathy and don't care attitude. Another reason we don't have a burden is materialism in our day.
Amen.
And this has been mentioned. I know that's why I'm not going to stay long on these. I'll tell you what, I think the brother already kind of referred to it yesterday. You know, sometimes churches are more concerned about their buildings and how big a building they've got and what they've got in the church rather than what they do outside the church.
Right.
It's materialism. It's crept. It's all over America, and it's all over the Lord's churches. And we're more concerned about how much money we got rather than what we're doing. Listen, it may come a day when we don't have any money. May come a day when we don't have a building to meet in. And what are we going to do then?
That's it.
What are we going to do? We just going to come together and sing and pray and do nothing? We're not going to have money to give to missions. It might all be gone.
Yeah.
But see, too many times people are comforting themselves by putting some money in the plate and say, well, I've done good. You know, I'm giving to missions. And you know, we need to do that. But what are you doing in your own home, men? What are you doing in your own workplaces? What are you doing to help comfort your pastor and encourage him and be behind him and the work in your churches? There's just people are so overcome with materialism and they're so concerned with building the life and building the nice house with a picket fence, and people have forgotten what God is commanding them to do, to get out there and to preach the gospel. We're so much more concerned with the nicer things that we can have in the church rather than what we can do through the church.
Amen.
Yeah. If the church spends as much money on the physical things, and they spent that money on the doing the spiritual work, it's hard to tell them what would happen. Materialism, entertainment has totally killed us. People are more concerned, about being entertained. And I'm not just talking about preachers, like Bozo the Clown he was talking about, or Dr. Seuss. It's not just that. But people are just so consumed with entertainment, and churches are sometimes. And here's what I've seen so many times is that, you have a church function. Church is just getting together to fellowship, want to get together for something, just have a good time. Well, everybody shows up. Everybody brings their meals in, brings their food in. You have visitation, you go out and preach the gospel. Where's everybody at? I'm the only one.
That's it. You're right.
Entertainment. I love that new movie out, Fireproof. I like it. The Baptist Church did that too. I'm like, man, that's pretty good. I'm gonna have a movie. I like it. I don't know what kind of actor I'd be, but I think it'd be fun. But hats off. Make a movie like that. I wish more people would do that. But I love that movie. We had a thing in our church. We showed that, and just for married couples and. Or to be married couples, and we had a nice dinner, and we showed it in the annex building, and just talked about marriage and things. Man, we packed out. We had 30 couples or something, 20, 30 couples, and we just asked for a little offering, just to help pay for the meal and everything. And we took $300. I was like, man, that's pretty good. 2 weeks later, we had a Bible project, get together to make up some of the Word of God. And we pass out John and Romans all the time in our community, and we was getting them ready for another country to send over there. We didn't have enough help.
That is.
That's sad.
Yeah. Amen.
It was a sad statement. That's how much it is. That's what it is today. We don't have no burden. Materialism, entertainment. And sometimes just a simple denial of the problems. Men want to put their head in the sand. And that's why there's not a burden. People just don't want to see. They'd rather just ignore it. Act like it's not there. Kind of like some people do, when they first get cancer. You've seen people like that. They've been told to get cancer or some kind of disease. And so they would rather just put their head in the sand and just kind of deny the problem like it's not there. You know what? That doesn't do them any good.
Right.
But they ignore their medicine. They don't take their medicine. They won't go to the doctor. They think like the problem's not there. And eventually what happens, the problem gets worse. And their chance of survival is a lot less. A lot of churches are in the same spiritual state.
That's right.
I mean, they're ate up with cancer and sin. They're ate up with materialism and entertainment. They're ate up with all these diseases of covetousness. And preachers and church members like their head and saying, well, isn't that all that bad? It isn't all that bad, It really isn't. As bad as everybody's saying, and all of a sudden, it's up on you before you know it, and you're about ready to die.
That's it, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Now I want to give you some reasons to be burdened. I've got 5 reasons here to be burdened. First of all, we should be burdened simply just out of a love for the gospel message itself. And we sing the song, I love to tell the story. Do you?
Yeah.
Do you? Or do we have to sing? Maybe we should change the words. I make myself tell the story.
Good.
I hate to say it. That's probably what I ought to sing sometimes. My heart's not right. I'm not in tune with God. I need to be honest before God. And just sing, I make myself tell the story. And then finally, I love the story. But sometimes we've got to do that. We need just a simple love for the message itself. And the message, not just the message and what it proclaims, but also what it can do for lost sinners.
Amen.
Oh, it's a glorious message that we have to take. It's a message of hope, of forgiveness, a message for repentant sinners, and a substitutionary death of Christ, and what they can have in Christ. They can be forgiven. They can be justified. I mean, they can have all the righteousness of Jesus Christ by repenting their sins and trusting in Him. And what a glorious message we take out there to this lost and dying world, that no matter who you talk to, no matter how bad off they are, no matter how many tattoos they got, no matter how many body piercings they have, no matter how many drinks they've taken, no matter how many marriages they've been in, relationships, no matter what their background, we have the message.
Amen.
It's the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for sinners. Yeah. What a glorious message. A message of substitution, how Christ died for sinners. What a great message we have.
Amen.
I love telling people about that, what Jesus has done for me.
Amen.
He gave His hands for me when I used my hands to go against God. He had turned His back and gave His back to the smiters when I had turned my back against God.
Yeah.
He had gave His face to be smitten and His beard to be plucked when I wouldn't even want to look at God.
Right.
The message of substitution, Christ dying for sinners.
Yeah.
And no matter who you talk to, no matter how bad off they are, I mean, you have the Word of God that can change their life. Listen, we need to love the message because who it's about, and love the message because what it can do for the person you're talking to.
Yeah.
You have the answer that they need.
Right.
You know, sometimes when we get a little overwhelmed, you know, we start talking to people. You know, all kinds of different situations, all kinds of different sins. I mean, different backgrounds, different colors. I mean, you're running all kinds of obstacles. What I've learned so much is that all that doesn't matter. Because they all need the same medicine.
Amen. Amen.
One medicine cures all.
Amen.
It's the message of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you see, when you understand that, you don't have to know everything about the cults.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I tell you what, forget studying the cults. To be honest with you, that's not a good study anyway.
Amen.
I mean, it don't hurt no little tidbit here and there from talking to somebody, but you understand what I'm talking about. Don't get in those kind of studies, deep study. I don't think it's necessary.
Right.
You need to know the gospel.
Amen.
Through and through. Because it will be what that person needs. It will be what God will use to show them their need of Jesus Christ. So we need a love for the gospel itself. Secondly, we need a desire. We need to be burdened because of a desire for God's glory to be seen. We should be burdened because of the love for the message. We should be burdened because of the desire for God's glory. I mean, I'm looking forward to the day when God's glory is really going to be seen. I'm looking forward to that day in the Word of God in Revelation there when all the saints of God will be around the throne of God saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." I'm looking forward to that. We enjoy the singing here. But I tell you what, it's really going to be something.
Amen.
I mean, well, it's going to be great, isn't it?
Amen.
I'm looking forward to that.
Amen.
I mean, talk about the praise and glory of God. And it should be our desire to magnify Christ wherever we go, to preach the power, the preeminence, the purpose, and the passion of Christ everywhere we go for the glory of God, to magnify Christ. That was Paul's desire. That's what moved him. He considered him the least of saints, the chiefest of sinners. But his desire was the glory of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 9:16, you can see that he talks about the glory of the gospel, the glory of Christ there. As in his glory was in the gospel. It was not in himself. Listen, I don't want any glory for preaching the gospel. Paul doesn't want any glory for preaching the gospel. And any preacher who wants glory in preaching the gospel is no preacher at all.
Amen.
We need to take glory in God.
Amen.
We need not for people to see us, but to see Christ crucified and risen again.
Amen.
That Christ will be exalted. And that's when all men are drawn unto Him.
Amen.
He said, "If I be lifted up, I shall draw all men unto myself." So our desire is to go out and to magnify Christ. And so we should have a desire, a burden for the glory of Almighty God.
Amen.
I tell you, when you get that kind of burden, I tell you, it'll change you.
Amen.
That's what happened to Isaiah.
Amen.
That's why he wanted to go.
Yes.
That's why he said, "Here am I, send me." Because he had seen Christ high and lifted up. He'd seen him in all of his glory there. And there he sees that he's nothing but a sinner. And those around him are sinners. And he said, oh, woe is me. And God says, who shall we send? And he says, here am I, send me.
Amen.
See, we need a vision for the glory of Almighty God.
Amen.
Looking ahead to that day when Christ will be exalted at the right hand of the Father. Looking ahead to that day when all the blood-washed band will be around the throne singing praises, focused on the glory of God. I think it'll change.
Amen.
You know, I don't always have that. I don't always have it. But I want that burden.
Amen.
More and more. You know what? Well, you know what bothers me? Whenever I don't have a burden, I have a burden. Does that make sense to you? You see yourself sometimes, you think, maybe it's where you're at right now. You think, you know, I don't have much of a burden. And then you realize, I don't know if I care. That's a bad place to be.
Amen.
And I thought like that before, and I walked away from it. That's a sad place to be. And we can all get there. We can get cold, calloused. This world beats you up. It drains you. I mean, you're raising a family. That's hard work. I mean, you're out there in the world and sin all around you. Then you can be walking with God. And you can go out there in that world and you still get dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every day you'll still get dirty. Even if you're not even playing in the mud, just walking through the dirt, you get dirty. And that's the way this old world is. The filth is everywhere. It's at Walmart on the shelves. And I mean, this old sin around you, it can drain you. And because of iniquities abounding, the love of many is waxing cold today. There's just not simply much passion for Christ, not much burden for Christ. And this old world, it just drains us. And I want you to understand that this morning, that maybe that's where you're at. And that's not where you have to stay. Oh, God will touch our hearts through this meeting and through preaching the Word of God. And if you see, you know what? I don't have much of a burden for lost folks. I've been dry in my preaching. I've been dry in my witnessing. I mean, when's the last time that you actually had such compassion for somebody that as you was talking to them, you cried because you cared about their soul? When's the last time, preachers, that you actually preached on hell and tears were rolling down your face and you couldn't hardly talk because lost souls were before you that were on the brink of hell and about ready to die? When's the last time?
Amen.
Hey, I'm preaching to the choir. I ain't preaching myself because I don't always do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying every time we preach, you know, we got to be crying our eyes out. That's what I'm talking about. But when you're preaching on hell, you're preaching on things like that, that you actually cry. Because you're so burdened. I remember the first person I led to the Lord. It was the first person I cried with. I never will forget that. It wasn't my tears that saved him, but I tell you what, God gave me a burden. And I want that burden more and more. I'm getting off course here a little bit, and that brings us to our next point here, though. I need to be burdened because of the judgment of God and the love of souls. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 10, the Word of God teaches us here what's going to happen. The Word of God says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, and the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. Listen, God, the Lord Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. You know why? Because he was concerned, wasn't he? He was concerned. He wanted people to know that his judgment was real. About Word of God teaches us that hell is a place of outer darkness. But at the same time, it's a place of fire. I mean, fire gives light. So God's going to diminish the light off of the fire, and people are just going to burn in darkness.
Right.
It's a place where people will be bound hand and foot, the Word of God says. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be a continual crying out to God for some kind of relief, and people aren't going to find it.
Yeah.
The judgment of God is real, and it is fierce against lost sinners.
Amen.
If you're here and you're lost, I want you to know that if the judgment of God is real, we're not up here telling stories. We're not up here just trying to get your emotions going, but you need to wake up to the
Amen.
Judgment of God against
Amen.
Your sins. That God is a holy, just God, and He will not spare you in the day of his wrath. If you die without Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
And you'll think, I can't go on. I can't last any longer. But you will. God has prepared a body for those that enter into that eternal damnation. And you will there be burning forever.
That's it.
And ever.
Right.
And ever. That gets me.
Amen.
And what gets me is when it doesn't get me.
Yeah. That's it.
Whenever I don't have that burden.
Yeah.
And I can talk to people where I know are on their way to hell. And I don't even care. And I walk away from some people and I think, well, they're going to hell. And I don't even, and they don't even bother me. Now don't say, well, I don't do that. Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah,
yeah you do.
Yeah.
We do sometimes. Sometimes we move so much and do so much of God for God just simply out of motivation. Sometimes what we're supposed to do, we were supposed to go past them tracks. I mean, Brother Larry really put us all on the spot this morning. I mean, you know, you didn't go. No, you didn't do that, did you? But you might have felt like you had to go. No, you didn't have to go. Didn't you, Brother Larry? That ball's not because they wanted to go, right?
You glad?
I wanted to go this morning. I don't always want to go, though, I'll be honest with you. I don't care sometimes. Man, you're an evangelist. You said you don't care sometimes. I want you to know that that's something we all face.
Yeah.
I tell you what, this world is after you. I tell you what, the cares of this life will get you. And sometimes we lose sight as well as the judgment of God. Here's one reason why sometimes I lose sight of the judgment of God. Because I'm just enjoying God. I'm loving the Lord. I'm loving doing His work. I want to read the Word of God. I want to pray. I want to visit my family and teach them about God. And sometimes I just try to forget. Sometimes I'm enjoying the Lord so much. Sometimes you just forget. But you're around people every day that are going to hell.
That's right.
Wouldn't you be burdened about that? Somebody needs to be burdened about that lady at Walmart. Somebody needs to be burdened about that man at the gas station. Because if you're not, who's going to tell them?
That's it.
And what have we heard so much about here? We've heard so much about so many religions that don't have the truth. And so here we're saying, what are we saying? We're saying, we have the truth. We have the truth. What are you going to do with it then?
Right.
I mean, let's not sin on it. Let's do something with it. Let's have a burden for people to know the true and living God, to know the truth of the Lord, and give them the Word of God. Listen, we need to love people enough to tell them about the judgment of God. Sometimes that's not an easy message to carry. I was on the way past our tracks, and I said, we don't have that track, Before You Die, Read This, do we? I was kind of said it jokingly, but you know, sometimes I don't like giving out that track. You know, I shouldn't be like that, really. People need to die. People need to read that before they die.
Amen. Right. Amen.
See, something we don't want to. We want to stay away from judgment. We want to stay away from, you know, pending judgment that's coming. You're going to be in fire forever and hell forever. When was the last time you actually witnessed to somebody and you actually said, listen, you're going to go to hell forever and ever?
Yeah.
You're going to repent your sins and trust Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about since you said it in the pulpit. I'm talking about since you said it out there. Somebody. It's a lot easier to say it when you're standing up here.
That's it. Yeah.
When you're looking at a woman face to face, she's carrying a little child in her arms, and you know she's living in sin and don't have Christ, and you've got to tell her, listen, man, you're going to go to hell if you repent your sins. I really believe that God blesses that message. But that message, when it's passed on with compassion and concern.
It's it.
You know, people don't care. We hear this all the time. People don't care what you know until they know you care. I tell you, it'll impact people when you tell them about the judgment of God and you actually care. You're out there, you tell them God's going to judge them, God's going to get them, and you're all mad about it, and they're starting to think maybe you're going to get them too. They're not really going to care too much.
Right.
And you start telling them about God's judgment.
Amen.
Yeah. And boy, they can see that you care, that your heart is trying to be knit with theirs, and you really want to touch them and help them to see where they're at without God. I tell you, it'll make a lasting impact upon them. We ought to care. Fourthly, we need to be burdened because of the value of the soul. The Bible says, what's the profit of a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we just don't understand the value of one soul. I remember, I know y'all probably all seen this, but I read this story and about this man who was throwing starfish out in the ocean. Have y'all heard that story? Some of you yes, some of you no. But there was this man who was throwing all these starfish out in the ocean. All kinds of them. This other man comes up and basically asks him, what in the world are you doing? He says, because the beach was just loaded with them. And he says, what in the world are you doing? He says, you can't make no difference. I mean, that man, he picked one up and said, made a difference to that one.
Amen.
Yeah. Made a difference to that one. You know, we can't convert the whole world. We can make a difference to some. Yeah. And if some, having compassion, making a difference.
Amen.
We can make a difference. That's from Jude, the last few verses.
Right.
We can make a difference. Listen, the value of a soul. Listen, sometimes we work so hard at making money, then we're not making enough money because we don't have a nicer car, or we don't have the nicer four-wheeler, or we don't have the nicer boat, or the nicer golf clubs, or whatever it might be, that you're wanting the clothes. And we get so wrapped up in obtaining these material things, they're going to burn up someday, they're going to rot, they're going to rust, they're going to be gone. But I assure you, if you walk across the street to get the gospel to one person, it's worth more than all that labor that you put into.
Amen.
Wake up and see what is really needed in our day and what people really need. They don't need your money. They need Jesus.
Amen.
But we're more apt to give money than we are to give a message. People need Christ. And we need to understand the value of a soul. Listen, you get out there. Listen, Paul took... Some people like the term soul winning, but it is in the Bible, by the way. He that wins souls is wise.
Right.
Paul even said that he might save some.
Right.
It's in there, guys. Do what you want with it. Yeah. I know you all don't sit and run with it, but you know what? He took it very personal, didn't he?
Yes.
He said, I need to do something. That's what we need. We need a burden. But we know we need to do something. We need to get out there and we need to preach the gospel. Because souls matter. Listen, the Lord uses you to bring one soul to Him and spreading the gospel. The Lord uses you to win one soul. Just one. That is worth more than everything that you've ever possessed in this whole life in material respect. That one soul is worth more than all the money you've earned. It's worth more than that house, more than that car that you're saving up for, whatever it might be. That one soul is worth more than all of that. But we lose aspect of that. We lose sight of that. Oh, that God would open our eyes to see the value of a soul. For the soul is eternal. And she'll never die. But all of these riches, they'll all be gone someday.
Amen.
And then fifthly, we should be burdened because of the urgency of our message. We don't have much time.
That's it.
Amen. I want to read one passage here in Psalms 90. This is what we'll come to a close with. Psalms 90. I tell you what, I'm just 36 years old, and I know some of y'all laugh at that. I heard you laugh at somebody says 40. But I feel my time is slipping away so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, if I have a day where I feel like I haven't really done much for the Lord, I think, oh my goodness, what have I done? Time is short. Time is slipping by. And we need to realize we don't have much time. In Psalms 90, I want to read a few verses. Start with verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and by reason of strength will be 80 years. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Because of God's wrath, he says, so teach us to number our days.
Amen.
That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And we don't have much time to live, Lord, and I sure would like to be happy. Where's that happiness going to come from? Make us glad according to the days when thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. We can be glad even when we see evil, if we're doing God's work. Next verse. Let thy work appear unto thy servant, or thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. I mean, he's wanting to be in the work of the Lord. He's wanting the work of the Lord to get established. And what he starts off talking about is, Lord, teach us the number of our days. We apply our hearts unto wisdom. And he goes on and talks about being happy and being glad. But he knows that's only going to happen when he sees the work of God and he's employed in the work of God. He said, let thy work appear in thy servants, let thy beauty of the Lord be of God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands. Listen, we got a work for God to do. We need God to show us that work, and God will help us do that work. But listen, so long as we're living like we're going to live forever, and we're just walking through life as though nothing matters, and we're waiting around for I don't know what, and we don't have a sense of how short time is, we're going to do very little for God.
Amen.
You don't have time for foolishness. You don't have time for that. We need to get busy. We need to get serious about serving God. Man, my kids are growing up so fast.
Yeah.
Let thy work appear to thy servants and thy glory and to their children. I don't want my children to see the glory of the world. I don't want them to know that and to see that. I want them to have a desire for the work of God.
Amen.
I don't want my kids' desire and glory to be in the basketball stars, in the football stars. I don't want that. But Mark, I want you to be my children's hero. I want the sound men of God to be the men that my children look up to. Listen, we're in UK. No, we're not in UK. Let's see. Well, I'm in UK. Kentucky, but you know what? Basketball's crazy up here. I know it's down here too, but I can care less.
It's it.
I got more important things to think about first.
Amen.
I don't care about who dunks what. I don't care how many points they get. I don't care where they teach. I don't care who the coach is. I could care less. It's all going to burn up. And be gone. Those heroes are going to pass away. The children are going to idolize some of those men. They're going to get into drugs. They're going to be fornicators. They're going to be adulterers.
Right.
And parents have allowed those kind of people to be their children's idol. American Idol. What a good name for a show. That's really good. I mean, have allowed those kind of people to be their idols. How what? My children look up to the men of God who's doing the work of God.
Amen.
And I want my children look up to the elderly ladies in the church who come to church racked in pain. That's my heroes.
Amen.
The people who are serving God, sticking with the stuff, have a burden for the work of God. That's who I want them to look up to. We have an elderly lady in our church. I mean, she can't move hardly at all, but she comes in that walker every time. All the way. And then she thinks she's got to sit in the middle of the pew. I don't understand that. I want to tell her, just sit on the end. That's where she's always sitting. And you know, she can't get out of that, but you know, she'll just work her way over, you know, about three or four seats in the pew. They're like, why is she doing that? She can't even walk. I ain't going to say that to her, though. I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't dare. But you know what? She comes into that church, you tell she's hurting. But she's there. She's my hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
She has stuck with the stuff.
Amen.
Stuck with the stuff. I'm like, I don't think to me.
Just college classes.
Do you know what? You men of God have been serving the Lord. You got eyes watching you.
Right.
And I want you to know that I'm pointing my children's eyes towards you too. Our children see us. I tell you what, I love that my kids want to go on visitation with me. I hope they always will want to. They were excited. I mean, we was very old dog. We was in Walmart. And we was checking out at Walmart there. And we were getting ready to leave. And he could have been 3-4 years old. And he pointed his finger at that woman at the counter and said, "We'll see you in church." And she got mad. And I don't forget that, you know. It needs a little bit of tact, but hey, I wouldn't want to do that. But you know what? The greatest thing we can pass down to our children is not the better education.
That's right.
It's not those things. The best thing you can pass down to your children is a desire for the work of God.
That's right.
There's nothing greater than that. Oh, that God would give us the burden that we need to evangelize and to do the work of God that He's called each and every one of us to do.